Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
Right, back to the gardening questions. Charisse Viljoen standing by to take your calls on 021-446-0567. Charisse, we were talking about pots there with Nick Stodel. They've got the fantastic promotion running this week. What's a good suggestion for Yazid, who's going to start his pot balcony garden? What should he be planting?
Well, one of the first things that comes to mind is herbs, because they're very rewarding and he can then use them in the kitchen as well, kind of crop his garden. But I'm going to go one better and suggest an indigenous a succulent, Portulacaria. Many of us are very familiar with this plant, but it's such a champion plant. You can't have too much of it. And what I like is these days you can get a lime green or a dark green form. Mm-hmm. You can get a creeping or an upright form. It is extremely drought tolerant. It doesn't want or need a lot of water, but there are two wonderful things about it besides all of that. One is the leaves are edible, ooh, quite sour, quite high in vitamin C, but perfectly edible, absolutely delicious, added to salads, or I just nibble them as I walk past them. And the second thing is the way it photosynthesizes, it uses extra carbon. So it actually helps reduce pollution in the air, which is a nice thing on a balcony as well. You're often near traffic or high road areas. So
fantastic suggestion. Yeah? Okay, Yazid, I hope you're still listening and taking some notes there. The Portulacaria. And while it's just occurring to me, let me say this right now. If you're interested in food gardening in particular, I wanted to give everybody a heads up that on Monday our food segment is going to be about growing your own food. So if you're interested in that topic, we're going to be doing a special outside broadcast from the Orion organization in Atlantis, and they've got a food garden going. And during the food segment at 1:30, we're going to be chatting about what they've done there, but we've also got Ben Getz from Urban Harvest coming in to share advice with you. So it is going to be sort of a cross-pollination of the food and gardening segments on Monday at 1:30. If you're interested in the topic, if you've got questions about growing your own food, you're welcome to email them through in advance or call us on Monday. A lovely thing happened after the last time you were with us, Charisse. You may recall somebody asked for advice as a novice gardener on planting seeds and planting seedlings.
I do remember.
We were talking about planting seedlings and looking after them. And Mandy sent a tip in after the show for those of you wanting to grow plants from seedling. She makes little mini seedling pots using the inner toilet paper roll, the little cardboard inner roll. She says there's no disturbing the roots in transplant. You can just pick up the entire tube with the soil and the plant inside it and move it when you need to move it. The whole thing then goes into the ground and the cardboard itself just melts away into compost over time. And she says if you Google toilet roll seeding pots, there are loads of tutorials online as well on how to make it work. So Mandy, thanks for sharing that tip with us. It's appreciated. You ever use toilet rolls in your garden?
I have, but actually not to use them as potting. I think it's a great recycling compost, you know, idea. Really well done, Mandy. But I've used them to protect young seedlings from snail and cutworm attack. You just slip the toilet roll around the seedling that's already been planted, and it just helps prevent the pest getting in there.
So here we go. It's a multifaceted solution. You can keep it above ground to keep them protected from the snails. And when you're ready to move it, or you need to, just slip it down and use it as a container to move the whole thing. I like it. Right. We're taking your calls on any gardening topic today. 021-446-0567. You can also tweet your question at Cape Talk or send an SMS to 31567. What would it be without a lemon tree? And the question on the lemon tree today comes from Elaine in Kraaifontein, who says, please help. I have a lemon tree that is over 24 years old, and this year, for the first time, it bore no fruit. Do I need to get rid of it?
No, not at all. They often take a rest, and the weather has been playing havoc. And at 25 years, it probably just felt a little tired. It maybe got a little bit less water than usual. I would just feed it its Epsom salts and its fertilizer, and give it some more of the shower or bath water that you're distributing through the December period, and give it another chance next year.
Okay, so don't let it go, Elaine. Just keep it going until next year and we'll try again. Thanks for your question. Let's go to the lines and say hello to Terry in Kenilworth. Good afternoon.
Hi. Just a quick thing. We've got a fairly small garden, quite run down at this stage, and I'm interested in putting in some protea bushes, pin cushions mainly, I think. And I was just wondering where the best place is to get protea bushes and what's the best time of the year to plant them.
Sure. Well, most of the local nurseries now stock a variety of magnificent protea bushes because of Arnelia. And what Arnelia has done to make sure that they survive is they've grafted them onto a different plant's rootstock, which imbibes the plant with all sorts of hardiness that the actual top of the plant would usually not be so tough. The combination of it on a different rootstock makes it quite tough. And the time of year to plant is autumn. You're going to have to put up with a tatty garden through summer because it's completely the wrong time to plant fynbos at the moment. But once they establish themselves, you can plant any time from May, June next year. They'll have established themselves over winter, and by next year this time, you will start to see your garden take shape.
Fantastic. Thanks for your help. Much appreciated.
Terry, okay, thanks for your call. Have a great afternoon. We'll take some more calls on 021-446-0567. Don't forget, you can also leave a voice note if you prefer on 072-567-1567. Rod in Somerset West has SMS'd asking for suggestions for an indoor office plant with low and medium light.
Rod, the philodendron tends to do really, really well, and the spathiphyllum. So the philodendron looks just like a delicious monster, except it's a smaller version of it. Really pretty leafy plant, can get a little bit big. And then the spathiphyllum has upright leaves with spathe-like flowers that are white, and often you get a lot more flowering from that. But both of those are very tolerant of lower light while still looking really good and not needing too much care or attention. Try not go for something very flowery. Always they want more light and more attention. So those foliage plants that give you pleasure, go for those.
Good advice. Hope it works for you, Rod, in Somerset West. Alison in Bloberg, another novice gardener. She wants to know what succulents would do well against a south-facing wall, which gets very little direct sun, in a raised bed.
There's a succulent called Crassula spathulata and Crassula multicarva. In fact, many of the Crassulas like semi-shade and shaded areas. But those two Crassulas, Crassula spathulata and Crassula multicarva, are the two that would do really well. And they spread quite easily, even planting a combination of them. And you'll be well rewarded with that in that area.
As your last day on air at the end of the year, I'm going to make you say Crassula spathulata 10 times in rapid succession. Well done for getting it out. Alison, good luck. Thanks for your question. On the WhatsApp line, Anonymous asking, do you know where I can get white lavender plants? I didn't know such a thing existed.
They do. I've actually seen them in the Stodels range. They've had white lavenders, and you can also ask them to order them for you if they haven't had any, but I have seen them stocked at Stodels.
Okay. We can't have a gardening feature without talking about water. And every time you hear, we talk about reusing your grey water and what can be done in the garden and what can't. Here's an interesting one. Somebody asking, is it possible to use swimming pool water for watering grass and plants? I know the chlorine is a no-no, but I haven't added chlorine for over a year now, so the level is very low.
Absolutely perfect for the garden. And even with a little bit of chlorine, it would still be all right. Obviously not when you've just put chlorine in the week before, but after a year, definitely. It's a fantastic source of water for the garden. And my mom, in fact, makes sure that her backwash pipe leads onto the garden and not down the drain. So every time she backwashes her pool, she waters her lawn and her beds.
Okay. The answer is yes, indeed. Thanks for the question. Is there an online resource, somebody wants to know, where you can find out more about cultivating succulents? Some of mine are dying and I'm not sure why.
I'm laughing because our succulent expert, Ernst van Jaarsveld, who's grown succulents for over 40 years, the best advice he can give when asked this is, no, you just make a cutting and you stick it in, and you can't get anything more out of him. Just break off a piece and stick it in. So I don't think there's actually, there might be, but I've always just broken them off and stuck them in and followed advice. If succulents are not doing well, it's either too much water, too little water, too much heat. Possibly they've outgrown themselves, and you can actually take the healthier tips and put them into little pots and re-root them and then plant them back in. There can often be a pest attacking them, which happens when they're under stress. Although they are drought tolerant, they also get stressed in the heat. Mm-hmm. And so really looking for the cause would be a better idea. Otherwise, just using Google. I don't know of one. My guru just says cut them and stick them in
the soil. I have to say, I thought, let me just take a bash, and I typed in www.succulents.com. www.ptpodcast.co.za, and what looks like a pretty comprehensive site has just popped up with tips on all kinds of things, including the diseases and pests that bother them, a botanical dictionary, frequently asked questions. So that might be a good place to I have no idea who is behind it. I cannot vouch for how accurate the information is, but it looks like it has been put together quite comprehensively. So try having a look at that, succulents.co.za. You look for these things on Google, you'll find them amazingly fast. Roy in Kryfontein, good afternoon.
Hi, listen, I've got some water, groundwater here, which I had tested about 10 years ago. And it's so loaded with iron, it's got 2,000 parts per million or whatever it is.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I know you shouldn't spray it on plants, but can I put it on the ground?
Yes, it's absolutely fine. It's actually the amount of iron that will affect the plants depends on the pH of your soil, quite interestingly. If you really want to check it properly, Roy, you should take a soil sample and have its acidity or its alkalinity tested. And within a certain range, the iron is very available, and within a different range, it's not so available. And then you will know, according to the pH of your soil, how much of that iron is actually going to be absorbed by your plants, negatively affecting them. But
now tell me, who's the best place to take the soil to?
You can actually have a pH litmus test in your local garden center. It'll allow you to put a little bit of soil into a test tube and put a litmus paper in to test it. If you want something a little bit more accurate, they're a BEM lab. Is a company.
BEM Lab
is a company that tests soil. And the looking up the pH and what minerals and nutrients are available will be online. You just go pH or acidity versus nutrient availability, and a whole list will come up. And soil science is a part of every horticultural spaces, but quite hard to disseminate it in a few minutes. But the information is out there.
Roy and Kryfontein, thanks for your call and have a great afternoon. Thank you to whoever sent the message saying that the gentleman who works at the Namib Cactus Garden on the West Coast Road is a well of succulent knowledge, and it's also really fascinating to watch him work. Thank you so much for the advice. So whoever was who wasn't struggling with the succulents, I can't remember, but it might be worth taking a drive up the West Coast Road to visit the Namib Cactus Garden. Laugh out loud, Ray on the SMS line wants to plant cannabis because you know it's legal. Yes, Ray, I will just point out that there is a pot special on at Stodel's this week. back at you. Okay, back to the SMS line. Sorry, Cherise. What about washing machine water, somebody asks? Can that be used for the garden?
I would suggest reading up a little bit more about it, and it can be used. But do not use softener. And use a washing powder that does not have too much phosphate in it. So you can actually go look on the shelves at the ingredients and try find a phosphate-free washing powder or an environmentally friendly washing powder. I lost my voice. They are there. And don't use softener, and it's fine. The powder itself has enough scent to make your clothes smell nice. And of course, the masses of washing machine water that comes out is then usable in the garden. Mm.
There also, if you're prepared to invest in slightly more expensive products, there's a great variety of bio ranges and green eco-friendly ranges, etc. There's bio organics. I've gone blank on all of them, of course, now. But if you look in health stores, you'll often find there's a whole range of products that are specifically designed for you if you're wanting to recycle the water. So it's worth looking for those.
Even
as well.
Woolworths, Pick and Pay, and Checkers have eco-friendly products that you can choose from.
Okay. A tweet asking saying the following: my mint gets white spots, presumably powdery mildew. What can I do about it?
Try and water your mint from below and not above. So put it in another container. You know, if it is in a pot, I'm now assuming. Put a drip tray underneath and then water it by filling the drip tray instead of watering above. Otherwise, just move it into a slightly better aerated area, a little bit more sun. Otherwise, cut it all off and let it start again if it's got the disease.
One last question very quickly on the WhatsApp. How safe is it to use used tea bags as mulch in the garden?
Extremely safe. And coffee grounds and used tea bags, the plants love them. So go ahead.
Cherise, always a fountain of information. Thanks for being with us, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks.
Cherise Fillion of Kirsten Bosch. Remember, if you have a complicated garden question that you'd like answered, the best thing to do is send it to me in an email, particularly with photographs if necessary, pippah@capetalk.co.za.